Welcome to WrestleWolf. I'm your host, Damian Gibson. Today we're going to talk about some wrestling news, and then we'll talk about the best, worst, and so-so storylines on All Elite Wrestling's television shows. Let's get into it. Hit the music. We'll start off with news. Unfortunately, this week, the only real bit of news that matters is the passing of Jay Briscoe, or Jamin Pugh, who was involved in a traffic accident last week, which also involved two of his children, who are both in hospital in critical conditions. So, our thoughts go out to Jay's family and friends, and all other news stories seem pretty unimportant in comparison to that one. So let's just move on to the rest of the show. But our thoughts go to Jay's family and friends. So we'll start with worst story. I've done worst story, there's something there storyline, and best storyline for across all of AEW television for this week. Didn't end up watching anything else. I've watched a little bit of New Japan, bits and pieces, but not enough to really write down a report for anything that's happening storyline-wise there. And the vast majority of the major storylines in New Japan, I feel like, are coming in the next 3 to 4 weeks. So we'll start getting into that when it really starts kicking off over there. So worst storyline, I know this is 2 weeks in a row, but it's Jade Cargill's streak. We're now at 49-0. Because Jade and her buddy, or the baddie, Layla Gray, had a win this week against a jobber tag team. But this week we had to put up with her buddy, Layla, getting all the offense in the tag match. So now we're not even watching Jade Cargill be proficient in this streak. Now we've got to watch Layla Gray as well, and the commentary boys are doing everything they possibly can to put Layla over. And look, I understand that that's the point of storylines, is you bring people into feuds to put them over and give them a name. And maybe because it feels like the streak story is going to end sooner rather than later, thank Christ, this was an opportunity to try and get Layla some TV time and just see if something sticks. But I don't know who needs to hear this, but this is the most boring wrestling storyline told maybe in the history of wrestling, and has been since day one. I mean, Jade won the belt instantaneously, right? I think it was her first match she won the TBS belt, or maybe match, let's say it was around match 5 or 6. And we've just been, this has been going on forever. And, you know, last week I complained about Mickie James' storyline in Impact, where essentially she had to keep winning because if she lost, she retired. She'd essentially staked her whole career on winning the Impact Women's Championship. She didn't do that. She was out. But at least that storyline led to her winning a belt. This story isn't leading anywhere. And there's some cheap heat, some cheap online heat for who's going to break the streak. You know, people seem to enjoy talking about that somewhat. But you've got to go and find it. It's not what's trending on Twitter or Reddit or Instagram. It's just so frustrating to watch. There's really nothing here that's not making me want to fast forward on this story. And as I've said in the past, this isn't a Jay Cargill bashing podcast. It could be anybody in this storyline. I mean, Mickie James was essentially doing the same storyline across the Impact. I didn't like it there either. But like I say, at least that storyline was going somewhere. I feel like there's these bookers now who are around my age who grew up with Goldberg Streak and have this like rose-colored glasses look at what that story was. But, you know, that story, they lied to tell that story concisely. They were bumping up the numbers by 10 to 20 every week. You know, so Goldberg would win one match and they'd make it 17 wins, you know. And that was at a time where you could do that. People weren't keeping, oh, except maybe Dave Meltzer, people weren't keeping online spreadsheets of who won what and where and how. And you can't do that now. So you can't cheat. You have to do it. And if this was leading, you know, this storyline would make more sense if you were going to do it in a with a complete underdog. You know, if you brought someone like Warhorse on and he made a bold claim that he was going to win the TBS belt or something, and then, you know, there's an authority figure that makes a stipulation that he has to win 50 matches in a row and then he gets his TBS shot. And so you do that every week because it means something, because we're going somewhere. There's a destination, you know. This is a road to nowhere. There's something there segment of the podcast. I'm going to come up with, workshop better names for all of these, but there's something there. It's the first thing I could think of this week is the other women's story that's happening on AEW story. So TV, it feels like we're maybe getting an AEW women versus the WWE women storyline. And I have no problems with that at all. I think if this is done right, it could be one of the biggest storylines on AEW. And it would be fantastic for the women's division to have a story like that that everybody's talking about. So Toni Storm and Willow Nightingale had a singles match this week. And before the match, Saraya was really nasty to Hikaru Shida. They kind of told her to stay back because she had fucked up the week before by throwing in a kendo stick, and it kind of led to Tony losing a match. Saraya's down there with Tony. Toni Storm gets the win, and then Saraya comes in the ring and just starts beating down Willow Nightingale. And it's as far as you can, because Tony was kind of involved, but not really. It definitely feels like it's definitely a heel turn. It's definitely a heel turn. But in the promo beforehand, Saraya and Tony were talking about how all these homegrown AEW girls haven't done anything. You know, they think they're big stars, but they haven't really done anything. And I think that's fertile ground. Like, I feel like you could really plow that field and get some really fertile story stuff happening out of it. And even in this match, like, Hikaru was floating around, kind of looking confused. She didn't know what was happening. But the only thing about that is that there's been no real, like, friendship established between Hikaru and Saraya and Tony. So, I mean, they've been friends for about 3 weeks. But in wrestling, that's kind of the equivalent of 3 years. So sometimes you've just got to go with it. But she's floating around looking confused. She brings a kendo stick down, but kendo stick, and she's being treated like dirt by Saraya in particular. Willow's getting beaten down by Saraya after this match, and then Ruby Soho comes down for the win because they're tag partners. So that makes sense, but what I do like about that is that Ruby Soho was a long-time WWE employee, but it was also her nickname is the Runaway, referencing the fact that the first opportunity she got, she bailed. As soon as there was another option, she left WWE as quickly as she could, which has not necessarily been the path for Tony and Saraya. I mean, it is, but all the girls have had their own issues with WWE in different shapes and sizes. Ruby being a WWE employee for so long, it could go either way. She could be with the AEW girls and then maybe switch across to the WWE girls. This also opens up a big storyline for Mercedes to walk into when she arrives at AEW, and it makes Jamie Hayter a face. So, which needs to happen and stat. The other thing it does as well is Britt Baker becomes a face, which is definitely the change that I've been crying out for when it comes to Britt. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to go down. She can do it. I mean, there isn't anything that Britt Baker can't do. And I'm open to it, though. Like, I'm not going to sink this whole storyline because Britt Baker as a character has been getting on my nerves the last 3 or 6 months. I want to see this. So if this is something that AEW creative are on the verge of, or they're a bit tentative about doing, just do it. Pull the trigger. It's interesting. It's leaning into that tribalism that everybody enjoys. Everybody says they don't enjoy it. They absolutely do. Everyone loves having a side. And this is a way of playing out that drama in a much more fun way on AEW television. The only negative thing that could come out of it is that if these girls sort of paint themselves as WWE people, do they get over with AEW fans? But I think most AEW fans are smart enough to, you know, separate art from the artist. I would hope so. And look, best storyline for me is Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. This is just some fantastic stuff here. This was a short episode in this storyline, but I loved it nonetheless. It was on Rampage. Once again, sort of tucked away on Rampage. I think this story's ready today to move across to Dynamite. I loved all of it. Ortiz had scheduled time to address Eddie in the middle of the ring, which is a face thing to do. That's a very Bret Hart, Bryan Danielson kind of thing to do. If I'm going to speak to you, I speak John Cena. I'm going to speak to you, I'll speak to you in the ring, face to face. And he does all the face things. He treats Tony Schiavone really nicely. He calls out Eddie to speak to him face to face, as I just said. Eddie comes to the ring. Eddie comes to the ring with a chair, which is, it's just such great characterization by Kingston. He knows that Ortiz is going to call him out in this storyline. The character does. So he brings a chair, brings a chair to the ring to say, fuck you, I'll do what I want. And it's a big fuck you to Ortiz. He calls out Eddie, speaks to him face to face, and then he points out to Eddie that he's acting weird towards him, and last week it looked like he was going to hit a woman with a chair, so he got close to hitting Julia Hart with a chair last week on Rampage. Ortiz says that their mentor Homicide would hate what Eddie's doing right now. Which screams of an LAX faction happening in AEW sooner rather than later. And I think that's where this storyline is going, that we'll end up having an LAX faction in AEW and they'll go up against the House of Black and it will be fucking rad. Ortiz says that he knows that Eddie's parents didn't raise him to be physical or aggressive towards a woman, and Eddie just loses it, and that chair comes in handy, smashes Ortiz in the stomach and then whacks him over the back with the chair and then just storms out. And so we've now got Ortiz, lonely Ortiz, battered, bruised, beaten up by Eddie. The House of Black always win, and they're currently winning because they've split up Ortiz and Eddie Kingston here. This leaves Ortiz with no choice, but he will have to go and speak to Homicide, who is their mentor. It's already been mentioned in storyline. And he'll go off and find Homicide and bring him back to AEW to try and snap Eddie back into civilization. But he's been messed with by Malakai Black, and what I really like about this is that it continues, I said the same thing last week when I was talking about the storyline, it continues to show how manipulative Malakai Black is, how powerful he can be as a heel without really doing anything. He's just said a couple of things, he's planted the seed of a couple of things, and then he's just backed off and let it all unravel for the viewer to see. And I really like this. It's understated storytelling. It's really, really good storytelling. So if the creative's coming from The Boys, and obviously Tony always has final say on the stories, but if these storylines are coming from The Boys and girls involved, kudos, because it's been done really, really well and deserves to be much higher up the pecking order than in the middle of Rampage. It just does. I know there's no matches at the moment, so, you know, promos will always get bumped for matches. Matches get bums in seats for the most part, especially in a promotion like AEW, but I really think AEW needs to concentrate on these stories. I mean, they do tell good stories, but this is a story that could rope people in, and it just needs to be promoted, you know. But yeah, I mean, Dynamite this week was another fantastic show, so it's easier said than done. Where do you find the time? You've got to put all these people on TV. But Eddie Kingston is a star. And, you know, I'll say that I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. He has a relationship with the audience that, you know, there's maybe only 5 or 6 people on the AEW roster who have something similar. And if you've got that, it's a powerful weapon. Not just against WWE, just in general to get viewers to watch AEW. So I just wish that Tony, you know, same as Danhausen and a few others, I just wish he was utilized a little bit better. But yeah, anyway, that's my cue, ladies and gentlemen, if you heard that tone. Thanks for getting back on board with us with a new year, new format. Hope you're enjoying it. If you are, let me know on social media. We're WrestleWolfPod on all the socials. I'll put the socials in our show notes as well. You can help support the show by rating and reviewing, getting it out into the algorithm, getting in front of more people. But yeah, just let them know. I mean, me personally, I look for AEW content all the time and New Japan content, and there's just none. There's very little. So if you've got friends who are into it, let them know. Let them know. There's this guy, and he talks about the stories on AEW, New Japan, Impact. Get them on board. The more, the merrier, as they say. Look, guys, thank you so much. Enjoy your wrestling this week. I'll talk to you next week.